This is a Federal News Network podcast.
The Naval Aviation Museum is a dream for flight enthusiasts, with everything from biplanes to Blue Angels jets. Behind the museum is a foundation, which actively participates in educating potential future aviators. To learn more, Federal News Network's Eric White spoke with the foundation's recently appointed CEO and president, retired Rear Admiral Kyle Kozad.
For a guy who's been involved in aviation in uniform for over 35 years, I started in Pensacola. I ended up in Pensacola. It was just an opportunity for me that I couldn't turn down. And really, the Naval Aviation Museum Foundation is, I consider it the sole benefactor to the National Aviation Museum. We consider ourselves the fuel that allows the museum to take flight. We support funding and, we're really focused on providing the resources to ensure that they have everything that they need to meet their strategic vision for growth today, tomorrow, and in the future.
And I'm sure you have some involvement with the actual Navy itself. What kind of collaborations will you be overseeing in your new role?
Yeah, so the coordination and the collaboration as a new retiree is to, really leverage the policy decisions, garner support from the service, because, the Naval Aviation Museum, National Naval Aviation Museum, is literally the crown jewel of a family of 9 or 10 Navy museums around the country. We've got a significant population that comes in and out of the doors of the museum normally. We've got some challenges right now with, a variety of circumstances that stem from a terrorist shooting December 6th here in Pensacola. Follow that up with the COVID virus and, which literally shut the museum down on or about the 14th or 15th March. And then, most recently, Hurricane Sally. So we'll provide all the support the museum needs, not only within Navy lines of effort, but also within corporate lines of effort for sponsorship, for funding and donations to be able to, sustain as we continue to kind of dig out of the hole that 2020 has put us in.
Yeah, you really took over at quite a whirlwind of a time there. Can you get into a little bit of the specifics of the precautions that the museum is taking? What kind of stipulations are you looking at there?
Yeah, so really it's kind of a phased opening. And we started just a few weeks ago. We opened the doors to active duty personnel and their dependents and really just tried to start a trickle on. And the museum has done a really good job of implementing all the National Health Agency precautions. We take people through. We socially distance. We make it a requirement for face masks as folks come in the door. We take temperatures. They go through, and we ensure that as they go through the museum, there's typically the thing that makes this museum, great and it stands out is each one of the patrons gets an opportunity to go up and touch the paint and feel the aircraft. Unfortunately, with COVID, we've kind of prohibited those practices until we get into a better time. But we've got a pretty spectacular cleaning crew that's taking care of everything. And then, really just the reduced participation and entrance. So we're down from, the highs of, typically, 100 to 200,000 people a year just starting things back up so we can kind of crawl, walk, and run.
Aviators have been hard to come by or hard to keep, whether it's Air Force or Navy. What role do you see the Museum Foundation actually playing in the recruitment process?
There's a lot of things, and you look back, when I was a young guy, Top Gun came out. And, there are things that the public sees that educates them. I grew up in Las Vegas, Nevada, and I knew nothing about the Navy or naval aviation. And I actually, got my bug from a neighbor who was an Air Force pilot. Ended up going to the Naval Academy to play basketball for a few years, and I knew that I wanted to fly. So really, it's an educational piece, it's an inspirational piece to be able to show people what naval aviation is all about. Tell them the story of what it's like to be a naval aviator or serve within aviation. Part of our job is to tell the story from a heritage perspective, and in doing so, inspire folks. And that dates back to the early '60s when the museum first opened its doors. And that focus was to educate young men and women at the time, just young men who were coming to Pensacola to go through flight school, to teach them about the profession of arms and the profession of aviation that they were about to enter. So they would, be better prepared to become, officers, division officers and, world-class aviators.
Yeah, and speaking of Top Gun, you see some of the conversation surrounding it. A lot of people say aviators in general maybe aren't doing dogfights or anything like that anymore. What do you tell people who are interested in aviation and, you know, they're actually looking to get a realistic perspective of what the job entails?
Yeah, and it's a good question, and it's changed in my 35 years. I have a son who flies Romeo helicopters, and you know, he was inspired. He watched me every step of the way. And I would say that, you know, when during your first, you know, decade of service, you know, your proverbial office is the cockpit of, you know, one of the most modern, sophisticated aircraft in the world, regardless of what you fly. And so, you know, the element of number one, service, but also the element of excitement, the element of adventure is there. And, you know, quite frankly, it's really unmatchable from anything that you would look at doing, you know, as you graduated from college and, you know, any kind of desk job, et cetera. So, you know, aviation still offers this, you know, adventure, I would say. And you tie that adventure into the fact that you're serving your country, your nation, you're doing your part to protect freedom and democracy. And I think it's a pretty compelling story.
Yeah, you may not be doing all the fighting that you see in the movies, but I mean, for God's sakes, you're still flying a jet, right?
Absolutely. You're flying and you're making a difference in your mission. So, in you know, with technology, this January, I believe marks the 30th anniversary. And, you know, I'll ask you, let me double check and fact check this, but, you know, retired three-star Admiral Mark Fox shot down a MiG-21. And, you know, those days are long gone. So, you know, the sophistication of weapon system is beyond visual range. So it's over the horizon. So, you know, the days of World War II where you had aces that, you know, shot down multiple airplanes, you know, warfare is much more sophisticated to a longer range right now. And so while it's changed, you know, the requirement for, you know, our pilots and our air crews to be, you know, tactically oriented, to understand everything, you know, from the mechanics of the jet that they fly to their weapon systems to, you know, adversary tactics. You know, it's an exciting game to play. I think it's a really cool opportunity here. And again, for a guy who started, and, you know, we consider Pensacola the cradle of naval aviation. So everybody who comes, you know, to fly Navy aircraft starts here in Pensacola, you know, for, you know, as little as 6 weeks, but, you know, for up to a few years. It's just really exciting to be part of this organization. You know, the men and women who work with the museum and who work with the foundation are passionate about what they do. And I told everybody that, you know, the coolest thing about this job is every morning when I wake up before my alarm goes off because I'm so excited, you know, to get in there, to learn the job and to make a difference. And everybody feels so strongly about naval aviation and what this museum brings, not only to the Navy, but, you know, to this country. It's a special place to be.
Retired Rear Admiral Kyle Kozad is president and CEO of the Naval Aviation Museum Foundation, speaking with Federal News Network's Eric White. Find the interview at federalnewsnetwork.com/Federal Drive.